Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free. No catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you. Everybody, welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Caitlin, Shira, none of them. No one.
So rude.
Wow. We are just speaking into the void.
They're dropping
again.
Like flies.
They really are. They really are.
Maybe we should just have Chet come co-host this.
It feels like we're Trump trying to find a chief of staff.
People keep coming in and getting knocked out days later.
And that I make that joke, and this episode's not going up till January. He could have several chiefs of staff by now.
True.
For all we know. Maybe it's a tandem.
Did you ever see the interview with Melania?
Which interview?
There's only been one.
The most recent one?
There was one. It was like 48 hours. No, not 48 hours. Maybe Dateline or NBC Nightly News, something. Fuck. I don't know. Anyway, but it was an interview with Melania Trump, and no questions were off limits.
Oh, good.
Which is not true. She was on her African safari, and she looks amazing. My favorite question was the first one, where they were like, describe Melania. And she was like, and then looked off in the distance to obvious cue cards and wrote, wife, mother, entrepreneur, model, independent, charity. I don't know.
Was it someone just like dropping cards like the In Excess I Need You Tonight video?
That would be my guess because it was those kind of pauses. But they did ask. They were like, what kind of influence do you have on Donald? Donald is his own person. We don't always agree because they brought up his Twitter.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And she was, and they were like, well, if you're anti-bullying, like, you realize what he writes
right.
on Twitter, right? He bullies people. We don't always agree. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, what else is she going
to
say?
I don't know. Whatever the cue cards tell her to say.
Right. Yeah. So that Donald Trump makes a decent enough segue into our topic this week, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is flesh-eating bacteria and diseases. You ever had a flesh-eating bacteria?
No, but I do have psoriasis.
Same thing.
But
I think
not.
It's pretty similar.
But not. Can you have a flesh-eating bacteria since you were six?
I think it is, like, if it's slow, if it's a slow-moving flesh-eating
bacteria. Are these autoimmune diseases?
I don't know. I know those are really trendy right now.
Yeah, non-curable, but contained with medicine,
right.
Specifically topical ointments.
Yes, things of that nature.
Okay.
Everyone in LA has one. I don't have an autoimmune disorder. I need to get one.
I never talked about my psoriasis growing up in Peoria.
Peoria, Illinois, a place that will give you psoriasis or a rash of some nature.
Won't it though? I remember always being so embarrassed, like in the locker room, or I was that kid that would sit in the swimming pool, like on the ledge with a top on because I had psoriasis all over my back. And it wasn't because I was fat. I wasn't the I was sitting next to the fat kids with t-shirts on, but I wasn't the fat kid with the t-shirt on. I just had to hide my scaly back.
Makes sense.
Right. And also in the locker room too. Like I was always the first in, out, trying to like cover up, had my back to the wall forever. Like when a guy later in life was like, let's do doggy style. I was like, lights off. And no touchy. No touchy, no feely.
Don't look.
And then Kim Kardashian kind of made it a thing. So now I feel like, hey, I'm Carrie, I have psoriasis. What?
Yeah.
Like cool. It's like the second thing I throw out when I meet somebody.
Oh, do you know Kim Kardashian?
Right. Stassi Schroeder from Vanderpump Rules. I know you don't watch, but a lot of people know her, and she also has psoriasis.
Right.
So now I feel like I'm part of a clique that I never wanted to be part of, but since I am, I'm with them.
So you can relate to this episode we're doing this week. Clearly.
To a degree. I didn't read the notes, but I know you're going to get to it. I mean, they didn't eat my flesh, so they're just unsightly.
Sure, sure. I mean, eating flesh is unsightly.
Fair.
But I get what you're saying. There's differences. There's a gap. So the story that made me want to do this episode, it just happened. The story just came out this past week. And if you want to read any of these stories, I'm going to tell you the name of them and where you can look them up. If you're some fucking bookworm that doesn't trust me and Carrie to just give you the information. Like, why do you need to read?
But, sometimes going down rabbit holes on a story is fun.
That is true.
You could either go down an Instagram rabbit hole of like your ex-boyfriend and everybody he's ever dated, or you could look up news stories, which is, I feel like,
about
more productive.
Flesh-eating bacteria.
Etc.
And not just flesh-eating bacteria. Sometimes it's brain-eating amoeba also.
We were talking briefly about this outside. It reminds me of the episode we did where you talked about the guy who ate the slug and then was conscious. It was like like when we talked about the surgeries, like the paralytics, where they wake up and they can feel everything, but they can't articulate.
Yeah.
Their mind's there, their body's not.
He knew he ate a slug and that it got him in that situation.
That's awful.
It's pretty bad. And so is this. This is the name of the article. It's called Careful Use of Neti Pot Advised After Woman Contracts Rare But Fatal Brain Infection on NBCNews.com by Shamar Go Hard Charles.
Yeah,
I like to
be.
Give the people who write the articles nicknames.
Oh, you made that up, Go Hard?
I sure did. Yeah, Shamar Go Hard Charles.
I thought it was his name, her name.
It would have been amazing. I don't know. Yeah.
Either way, I do like Go Hard Charles.
The last name Charles immediately puts me in the mind of a male, but Shamard, that could go either way.
Shamard. Yeah.
Shamard Go Hard Charles. It's a story about a Seattle woman. She's 69.
What?
Nice.
That's where if Chet Wilde was here.
Right.
He would love it.
She had chronic sinus.
Is one of your notes nice?
Yeah. After... Of course. It just says nice in all caps.
Perfect.
She had chronic sinus infections, and she tried clearing it up with a neti pot, but she used tap water that had been run through a Brita filter.
Okay, so I asked you what a neti pot is.
Right. It is, if you have congestion issues, it's a good way to clear up congestion. Dr. Oz made them famous in like 2009 or
so. So like if you have a cold, like an everyday cold, and you're stuffed up?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll work for that. And you can buy them at any drugstore. It's what it sounds like. It's a pot. It looks like a really small teapot. And you fill it with water, and then they have these packets of like the salt type solution that you put in. And then you literally just lean your head over and pour water into one nostril, and then it goes through your sinuses and comes out the other.
And you've done this?
Nostril. When I lived in the Midwest, every time winter would roll around, my left nostril would become a nightmare and just get consistently stuffed and congested.
That's awful.
And I would have to use a neti pot several times a day.
Why wouldn't you just have a hot toddy?
I would do that, too.
Oh,
like, I'd be drunk when I was using the neti pot.
I feel like you have to be.
Yeah, which is dangerous.
This freaks me out.
It's right up there with swimming and being drunk. Like, you don't want to
do both. Is that like waterboarding yourself, a neti pot?
Kind of, but also it's sort of scintillating when you see stuff come out the other side.
So you can see it.
Sometimes.
And it's like mucus?
If you're congested enough, you'll see mucus pouring out of your nose and into the drain.
I'm not good with fluids. I'm imagining and I want to throw up.
Don't throw up.
So even if you don't see it, you can look down into the sink and it's just there.
It's just water if you don't see the gold coming out. And she, when you use a neti pot, the instructions are really clear that you either need to boil the water you use and let it cool down, or you have to use distilled water that you buy, mm-hmm. like distilled water in a jug. You can't use tap water. You can't use bottled spring water, which is not considered sterile. And Brita filters are not strong enough to clean out the water to sufficiently so you can pour it right near your brain without getting bugs in there. And that's what happened to this woman. She had been using it for about a month. She got a rash on her nose and she goes to the doctor and the doctor is like, well, that's rosacea, and just gives her like a rash treatment.
I'm sorry, where was this at?
It was in Seattle.
I feel like that's a big enough city. Is that just like a quick diagnosis?
Well, the thing is, this is still really, really rare. Like, it's not common for a person to get this from their neti pot.
Okay.
But you find that in a lot of these stories where the people will go to the hospital and they'll get misdiagnosed as whatever and then come back a couple days later. And
think about it. If you go to the doctor and you're like, what are your symptoms? Well, I have a cold and I just poured water through my nostril. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Like, I would assume she would have mentioned
that. Right,
but
the rash was right there. So it was probably, he was probably assuming, well, you're getting irritated from putting this thing in your nose and maybe it's that.
Like sudden rosacea, I don't know.
So she starts having seizures at one point and gets admitted to the hospital again.
I wonder how quick that like sets in.
I don't, it's hard to tell from the article, but this played out over the course of about a year. So she got that rash and got misdiagnosed, and then I think a few months later probably started having seizures.
I wouldn't think then if it's that far
right
in the distance, I wouldn't even think about the neti pot. And you did mention, and I'm sorry if you said this, but Brita is not enough.
Right. If you're using a neti pot, you need a special filter for it, and a Brita filter is not enough to get these microorganisms. This is a horrifying quote from Dr. Charles Cobbs, neurosurgeon at Swedish Medical Center in Seattle. When I operated on this lady, a section of her brain about the size of a golf ball was bloody mush. There were these amoeba all over the place just eating brain cells. We didn't have any clue what was going on, but when we got the actual tissue, we could see it was the amoeba. And she died a few days later. People get these flesh-eating viruses mm-hmm. and brain-eating viruses, and I don't think they're even viruses. It's like bacteria, things like that. And if you can catch it right away, you're probably going to be all right. But a lot of times the symptoms they present just show up as other diseases or other less. Like, because if you just get a rash, we'll talk about a woman in a minute who just had a rash on her butt when she came back from vacation. And they were like, yeah, it's a rash. Take some antibiotic. And it fucking killed her.
Okay, well, I have a comment about that. But back to this. I wonder, had she deteriorated? Like, you would think a portion of her brain.
Well, she was having seizures.
Right, but still, do you still have cognitive thinking? Can you still talk? Can you still walk?
I guess it would depend on the part of the brain.
I guess
it attacked.
So,
yeah.
But if you open up her brain and you see parasites there physically working, like, that's so crazy and startling.
Yeah, that it's horrifying. And from, like, that's kind of why I wanted to do this episode, because I know a lot of people use these neti pots. Yeah. And you see instructions like that where it's like, don't use tap water. And you're like, oh, what's going to happen?
But there probably are people who do and are fine. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
sometimes
yeah,
different things affect different people. Or
the most recent.
Maybe she lives in Flint. Who knows?
I had to use a neti pot for a little bit when I lived it. Like, when I moved to L.A., all of my sinus shit cleared up because winter isn't the same here. You don't turn on your heat all the time, and
by the
my
way,
nose is
every
fine.
Time you keep saying winter,
you think of the dog.
I think of the dog.
Yeah, she's a good puppy.
She is.
But I do believe one of the last few times I used a neti pot, I used water from a Brita filter, thinking,
right, it's filtered.
It's filtered. So
I would
what?
Too.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not. It's like it's still rare. Like a lot of people, I'm sure listening to this use Brita filtered water in their neti pots.
Yeah.
And might still keep doing it because it's a really rare thing. But it only needs to happen once. It's like getting bit by a shark. Like I know getting bit by a shark doesn't happen all the time, but it's still something that happens. And
but you also said it has to be boiled.
The
right?
water
should be boiled, and then
you should, if you're using tap water cooled. Or anything of that sort, you have to boil it and cool it.
Right.
But you can also just buy a jug of distilled water at the grocery store. Yeah.
Like $2.
Yeah, I would do that.
And save your life.
I used to do that and just keep it on my refrigerator.
If I had the choice between this and like a Bret Michaels brain aneurysm, I think I would go brain aneurysm.
Yeah, well, brain aneurysm so much. He survived that though, right?
Which I think is rare.
Yeah. Like you have to, there was a major league pitcher, I think he played for the White Sox, and it happened this season. He had an aneurysm in the dugout and collapsed. And had he not been, like sports teams have all these medical professionals on staff, and it was during a game.
Yeah.
So he got treated pretty much immediately and survived. But yeah, aneurysm's tough. You're racing the clock once that happens. This, at least, if you catch it, that's what...
But nobody knew what it was. If right. they would have figured out what it was sooner, would it have helped her? Probably. But you, like you said, like it's not something everybody does or it happened months later.
Right.
How do you diagnose it?
Well, a lot of these, they do happen pretty quick, though.
Mm-hmm.
So in those cases, there are signs you can look for. And if you just Google it, like what signs to look for, it seems like a crazy thing to Google. But especially if you're going to the Gulf of Mexico, which we're going to talk about, like off the coast of Florida, people, this shit happens a lot.
Okay. I feel like there is a lot of stuff primarily that has to do with Mexico that tends to be flesh eating.
Yeah, but it's more Florida. Like, it's really? The Gulf of Mexico, but these are people swimming off the coast of, like, Florida and Alabama and shit like that.
Where did the Exxon spill? Was that in the Gulf of Mexico?
I think so, yeah.
I wonder if any of that is residual still.
It could be, yeah.
Hmm. Or a hurricane? Like, I don't know what the next story, like, what the timeline is, but if the hurricane from Katrina, like, dredged stuff up?
Yeah, this one was 2000. This next one's 2018, so
yes,
it could
it
be.
Would be. It could be.
The name of the article, New Jersey Man Could Lose His Limbs from Flesh-Eating Bacteria Caught While Crabbing, on USAtoday.com by Courtney Cash Money Marabella.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's name is Angel Perez. He's from Millville, New Jersey. And yeah, he was just crabbing in the Maurice River. Best Maurice River memories from childhood. Go.
That time I went crabbing.
Oh, sure, sure. And didn't get...
And didn't get a
flesh-eating bacteria.
But
right.
caught like 20 crabs.
Right. Lots of crabs. The good kind. The good kind
the kind
of crabs.
You can eat.
Yeah.
The kind you have to burn off.
I mean, in theory, you'd eat any of them, but what, what's
theory,
going
you can
on?
Eat any crabs?
Any crab can be
even
on accident, probably. Vaginal crabs? Is that what they're called?
Yeah. So, okay. So this became a debate because one of my friends in high school said she got crabs from sitting on a toilet seat at the Peoria Northwoods Mall. And I thought forever, that's why I've always squatted or made sure I put like toilet seat covers down. Galore.
See, I've always heard that's a myth.
Right. And I actually heard it was too.
Yeah.
But I believed that up until about 2 or 3 years
so
ago.
So she just fucked an unclean man.
Probably.
Mm, gross.
Well, I mean, we were young.
Well, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
So he goes crabbing in the Maurice River in New Jersey. And a few hours later, his arms and legs balloon up. He was in severe pain. This is a quote from Delana Perez Dylan, his daughter. The infection has spread to his blood, his skin. You can see it spreading from his feet all the way above his kneecap. His forearms are black in color. They have blisters, cuts, and sores. And he had contracted Vibrio necrotizing fasciitis, which is a flesh-eating bacteria that can be contracted in the summer months from salty water or eating raw or undercooked shellfish. Mm-hmm. And it spreads quickly, kills the body's soft tissue. As far as I can tell, he survived, but he did eventually have both arms amputated. This is why I don't fuck around in water. Water is for water creatures, and the land
is for
land creatures.
No, I'm a water person.
Like, I'll get in a boat, and if it's life or death, I'll swim to shore if I need to. I can swim.
Right.
But I don't like fucking around in lakes.
What if it was like a clear blue water, like the Caribbean?
Maybe, but there's still going to be sharks and shit.
Yeah, but I think they're the kinds you can swim with, and like stingrays. Unless you're that guy who got stabbed in the heart by one and died.
Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I used to think that about the Illinois River. I don't know if I ever told you the story, but my friend's dad taught me how to water ski. I was like in high school. And he had this old, speedboat. And he was like, yeah, come, I'll teach you how to water ski. So it's me, my friend Sarah, and then it's her dad. And he, this should have been the first indication that this wasn't a good idea, but he had hams, beer. and he kept popping them and drinking them as he was driving. And they were like handmade skis, by the way, like just chunks of wood that were like strapped to my feet. And I remember I actually did learn to water ski because the water was so gross. It was like dead fish and like hams and like Miller Lite cans, like just bobbing in the water. And I was like, I do not want to fall. And it literally made me water ski. So I was so terrified of falling.
Yeah, my family, when I was a kid, every 4th of July, we would go to Miller Park in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. You ever been to Miller Park?
No.
They used to do a big like 4th of July thing. Their zoo was free, so you could go in and out of there. It was a lot of fun. And they had a lake that you could swim in. And every once in a while, like a fish would brush
up
against
it. Yes, every once in a while, it would bite you. My friend had, God, there was this lake we'd all hang out in, and she had a mole on her thigh, and it bit the mole, and it started bleeding. I know, gross. Grody.
Fish.
but I kind of removed it for her for free, you know?
That fish should have invoiced.
Yep.
So here's another...
Wait, real quick, I have to say this. So how many people were in the water that day? Does it not seem weird that one person is reported as having a flesh-eating bacteria? Like, I assume he went in with his family or there were other people in there?
Well, this next story, I think, kind of makes it make sense a little more. The headline is, woman contracts flesh-eating bacteria in Gulf of Mexico on DaytonDailyNews.com by Debbie the Sword Lord. And
I don't hate the sword.
Yeah, the sword. That's a cool nickname. Yeah. She picked well.
You picked well.
And she got the exact same fasciitis that this guy got. And the way she got it, she reached in a bucket of live bait, which was all shrimp, and felt a prick on the back of her finger. And her husband said within 3 hours, she was deathly sick.
Wait, so why did she do this?
They were fishing, and they were using shrimp as bait.
Okay.
And she reached in the bucket to
pull out
a shrimp.
Okay, so you would think nothing of it.
Right.
Okay.
You would think, oh, one of these shrimp was sharp and pricked me. And that guy was crabbing. And one of the ways you catch this is from undercooked or raw shellfish. Yeah. So you don't necessarily have to eat it. It just what that shellfish is carrying has to get in your bloodstream.
Yeah. AIDS.
Right. Exactly. So this the guy probably cut his hand on a fucking crab shell or something. And this woman, the same thing. Just she got pricked by the wrong shrimp. And
so have I.
Right. And yeah, she got Vibrio vulnificus, which is the same thing that guy had. 46 people contracted this disease off the coast of Florida in 2016. 10 of them died. Should we recall Florida?
No.
How about the Gulf of Mexico?
Indifferent.
Yeah.
I say no for Florida because the stories that come out of there are fascinating.
That's true. Yeah.
Now that I'm out of there, and I do feel like that documentary, like Blackfish, but I escaped.
Right.
Like, I'm out of there now so I can talk about it. Like, when I was in there, though, I don't think I've ever been so unhappy. Like, I was like Blackfish where my, like, fin was over the entire time. And, like, everybody, like, clawed me, and I was, like, super unhappy. And then as soon as I got out, I was, like, happy. And then, like, my fin became erect again. And I still have some battle scars, at least on the inside, that I have to deal with. But, yeah, now that I'm out of there, I think it's interesting to read their stories.
Yeah, a lot of this happens in Florida, a lot of what we talk about in this episode. And I think it's just because it's so close to the Gulf of Mexico. And a lot of these are waterborne things that you catch.
Do they have any sort of idea why so many waterborne things there?
I think the temperature of the water, because it has to be warm water.
But, I mean, there's warm water everywhere. And actually, off the coast of Cape Town, Africa, there's also a lot of issues, especially with sharks, because it just produces, I guess, something like that makes it conducive for sharks wanting to like hang out there.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't go into any specifics as to why. Yeah. I think just the combination of warm water and all the shellfish in Florida.
Hmm.
Because a lot of the people, except this woman who we're going to talk about next, but a lot of the people come into contact with shellfish at some point, which is very shellfish of them.
This is something Carrie, where Caitlin would
said,
laugh.
Yeah, I said it was very shellfish.
And I would roll my eyes, which I did.
Right. And then Caitlin didn't laugh.
Rude.
So.
I mean, you had one person that could have supported you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was disappointing. I'm underwhelmed by the support.
I don't blame you. You know, I was supposed to go lobstering, actually, with some friends. And a guy I was dating when I lived in Florida. And Key West, I feel like the trip ended up not happening because me and him like had a breaking up, and it might have saved my life.
Probably.
At the time, I didn't realize it, and I was sad, but now I'm happy.
You were saved from a flesh-eating
possibly
bacteria.
You don't know.
You don't.
It's like
you
sliding
never know.
Doors. You don't know.
You never know. So this next story: woman contracts flesh-eating bacteria on Florida vacation, dies 2 months later. On AJC.com, set it as your homepage, by Lion Lauren Padgett. Indianapolis woman, Carol Martin, 50. Any relation?
Nope.
No?
Possibly.
She died 2 months after returning home from a Florida vacation with an infection on her ass cheek.
Yeah.
It was about the size of a nickel. Very painful. She went to a doctor twice. They sent her home with antibiotics and a heating pad. What? Does getting a sore hot make it feel better? I've never heard that.
Maybe in Indianapolis.
Could be. She went to the hospital a third time. They realized it was necrotizing fasciitis, rushed into surgery, spent 16 days in the ICU, sent home, where she promptly died.
I will say this. So I went to a wedding of a couple I barely knew, but I was still invited because I'm fun, in Costa Rica like 3 years ago. And I remember hearing that they have these things called bot flies.
Oh, yeah. Bot flies are gross.
That will just dig into your skin. And then I think you have to burn them out. And then they pop back up out of your skin. And I was so terrified of getting a bot fly. And we hung out at the pool one day. And the next day, had literally my ass was covered with bug bites. And I was like, what if they're bot flies and they laid eggs? And I was so terrified.
Oh, yeah. They lay eggs, too, when they get in
you. Yes. Yeah. And so what did I do as a responsible 40-year-old?
What'd you do?
I went to the bar.
Of course.
And had some drinks. And I asked the locals, what should I do? I have all these like bites on me. And they were like, go get cream from the pharmacy. And so I did. It was like anti-itching cream. And that was all I did. And then I came home and it turned out just to be mosquitoes.
So it sounds like they weren't bot flies.
They weren't bot flies. No, and I'm still here. My point is I should have had it checked out because there were so many and I was in a foreign country. Here she goes to Florida, gets some crazy bug bite, or maybe a couple, on the size of a nickel, and then she's dead.
Just dies.
Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy the way life works. You know,
it really is. It really is. Yeah, we were talking about that before the podcast. I don't remember what we were talking about the slug guy.
We were talking about the slug guy.
Yeah.
And of course, I brought up my parallel, which was I used to go to Tijuana with my sorority sisters, pre-cell phones, and we go down there to get fen-fen. And if that wasn't enough to kill us, we would spend the day drinking. We had no cell phones, and we'd lose each other and just stumble back across the border and wait by the car of whoever drove, sometimes in the dark, until everyone got there, and then we'd just drive home.
That's crazy.
It's so fucking crazy. But it seemed logical to me at the time.
Right.
For some reason, that made sense to me. But now I look back and I'm like, how?
This is a crazy story, too. Like, that's a decent segue, because this is very much a how story, this next one. Because a lot of these you hear about, well, they didn't get it in time, so they died. And thankfully, this title doesn't give it away. The article is, "What is Necrotizing Fasciitis? Man Contracts Flesh-Eating Disease, and He's Lucky to Be Alive," on Yahoo.com by Boren Corin Miller.
Nope.
Oh, Boren Corin.
That was the best you could do?
Boren Corin.
I don't really get it. He's boring?
He's boring.
Okay.
Laura was a liar. This guy's boring. Oh.
Okay.
So this guy, it's a Michigan man. He discovered he had a flesh-eating disease when pieces of his skin started falling off in the shower, which that feels like late in the game to catch it.
That's alarming.
Because before that, there had to be something a-brewing on his leg, because this was on his legs. And he gets in the shower, and he's literally losing skin.
So just in that area.
Just in that area. This is a quote from him. "My skin was being washed away. Not like a sunburn. Like enough for me to know something was majorly wrong. I was losing meat off my leg. You could see everything."
Did it hurt? Like, there's nothing about the pain level. I would assume there'd be a pain level with it.
It would have to hurt, I would think. But also, it's dead flesh. So a lot of the nerve endings and things are going to be
crazy exfoliation.
It really is. Yeah. And he was visiting Houston with his wife for their first anniversary. He checks in with a doctor. The doctor is like, which here's the thing. You're in a shower. It's washing your skin away. There's leg meat falling off your leg. And you still go ask a doctor if you should go to the ER? Yeah. You're like, is this going to grow back? Should I worry about this? I can see my leg bone. Is that a problem?
Sometimes guys are dumb.
Yeah, like just go to the ER right away. But this doctor was like, yeah, you need to go to the emergency room. And here comes one of the most bizarre quotes from any article I've ever read. There was no way I was going to the emergency room 1,500 miles away from my three kids. So we jumped in the truck and drove as fast as we could.
Of course he had a truck.
So you want to die on the highway? Instead of getting fixed up right away, they drove 20 fucking hours.
Do they have hillbillies in Michigan?
Oh, yeah.
They have.
Michigan actually has one of the highest concentrations of militia groups in the United States.
I'm surprised he didn't accidentally shoot himself in the face with a shotgun while deer hunting first.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems like that type.
This is a similar decision, but if you willingly shot yourself in the face while deer hunting.
But I feel like he accidentally would.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And apparently at one point he asked his wife to stop so they could spend the night in a motel. Like he got so sick that he started getting delusional and was.
Was he driving? If he was driving, I'm going to walk out.
Yeah, no, she was driving.
I'm going to walk out and get like more wine, but then I'm going to come back.
But still, she had to drive 20 straight hours when he could have just gone to the ER.
So then who did he marry? You know what I mean? She obviously wasn't the brightest either.
Yeah. It probably felt like an adventure.
Or she was just complacent and he was the militia Michigan man.
Let's take a look at this guy and decide if he's in a militia or not just by looking at his face.
I'm laughing because I bet like somebody I've dated at some point.
No, look at those manicured eyebrows. He's in an R&B group, but not a successful one.
I'm actually more concerned about her face.
She looks like Chelsea Clinton.
A little bit. You know what?
And he looks like the lead singer of Color Me Bad as the lead singer of Color Me Bad looks today, which is gigantic.
See, I feel like she looks like, who's that? Zellner. Kathleen Zellner. Like how, like the nose erodes.
Maybe
she had a full nose at one point, but now it's like a button.
Well, she's a loyal wife, if nothing else.
If nothing else, the kid's cute.
Yeah,
now.
The kid looks excited. He's happy his dad kept his legs.
Because he knows he's about ready to get some like life insurance money.
If
they thought to do that. They also seem like a couple who might not plan ahead.
Yeah, I feel like most of the insurance money went into that Nike hat and the eyebrow threading that he's clearly getting
every
week.
But the Nike hat doesn't look like a real Nike hat. It looks like she stitched it at home.
Yeah.
Somehow she got that pattern. And then stitch it on his hat to save some money.
So he was actually, they were able to save this guy. That's what's so crazy to me. All these other people that die, and this guy puts a 20-hour wait in between him and the emergency room.
He seems sturdy.
And he's had three surgeries and a pigskin graft. So he's got football meat on his leg now.
I bet he's so proud of that. He feels like it happened for a reason.
Probably. I wonder if he had like Wilson stabbed on the side.
You know he played football in his high school where it was like, oh, anybody who tries out makes the team.
They probably used
it. He's like, yeah, I played football.
He probably had a ball saved from a game he won in high school. And he's like,
his team won that he was like played once in.
Use some of that, man.
Yeah.
Put that on my leg.
Place.
That's how people in Michigan talk.
And then, she rubs it as foreplay.
Ew. No, I hope
I'm the gross one. Okay.
This is the saddest story in the history of the world. New mom contracts flesh-eating bacteria, loses arms and legs. Again on DaytonDailyNews.com. What are they? They really go in for the fucking flesh-eating bacteria stories.
Oh, God.
By flying Ryan DePentema.
I don't hate that.
Oh, flying Ryan.
Like he was like a trapeze artist before.
Yeah, exactly like that. Or he fell off a building and lived.
I'm on your page.
They call him flying Ryan.
I didn't like the boring one, but I don't mind flying.
Lindsay Hubley, 33, Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. She contracted a flesh-eating bacteria 4 days after giving birth. She sustained a tear during labor, and part of the placenta wasn't removed after birth. I don't know if that's normal.
I feel like you're supposed to get that out of there. Did she give birth like in the back alley of Nova Scotia?
No, hospital. Just a regular ass hospital.
That doesn't seem right. And, like, isn't that like a malpractice suit?
Oh, yeah, we're getting there for sure. She returned to the hospital a few days later with abdominal pain, and her lawyers contend that at that point she was not examined properly, which allowed the infection to spread because the doctors were just like, yeah, you had abdominal pain. You just had a baby, you dumb broad.
And they backhanded her and sent her on her way.
They had her committed to a mental institution for 72 hours and then sent her home. And because they didn't catch this in time, which, again, blows my mind that that other guy survived. Because they didn't catch this in time, she had a full hysterectomy.
Good.
Had her arms amputated below the legs.
Boo.
Legs amputated below the knee.
No.
She's expected to need a kidney transplant. Mm. And she spent the first 7 months of her kid's life in the hospital.
This is...
So she is clearly filing a lawsuit.
But what are you going to do with it? Won't it all go to, like, your ongoing medical care?
It'll... Not only that, but there's a documentary I recommend to people all the time called Hot Coffee.
Yeah.
And it's about that... Remember the McDonald's case where the woman spilled coffee and we were like, oh, frivolous lawsuits. Yeah. But she was actually, like, very, very injured and needed skin grafts and things. But because of the uproar over that, there was this big push. It was tort reform. And it was this big push to put caps on how much money victims can get from a company when they've been wrong. And there's someone in that documentary, their kid went in and the doctor, like, fucking cut the wrong thing. And this kid is going to need care for the rest of his life. And because we passed all that tort reform, the max they could get is like $5 million, and they're like, that's going to take care of him till he's like 17, and then what do we do the rest of our lives when we have to care for this kid that this doctor wrecked through his malpractice? And because every late night TV host was like, hot coffee, nobody can fucking sue a hospital for a reasonable amount of money anymore.
It's not because of them. It's because even if they didn't, somebody would have brought attention to it, because if one person does it, everybody will. Either way, attention was brought to it. But
that's what the court system is for. And that's where, if it's truly a frivolous lawsuit, you take that to court and you fight it. But it was us. It was the general public going, oh my God, we have to protect corporate America from frivolous lawsuits.
Isn't America just a slippery slope?
It's a nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare. And if something like what happens to this woman happens to you in the United States, you're going to get a few million dollars, and it's not going to be enough. Like, there should at least be a thing where they're like, oh, hey, we're a hospital. We'll just take care of you. Like, we'll handle your medical stuff for the rest of your life. That would be easy.
No, well, then they go on Ellen, and that's how they get paid for.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everyone.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of how it works. And I get that's like the beauty and the nightmare of this country. If I can say an unpopular opinion because I've had enough wine. One of the reasons I don't want to have children is, one, I think I would love them so much that if anything happened to them, I would die. Two, you don't ask to be born. And then, like, some fucked up shit happens. Like, I've been thinking a lot because I feel like I know a lot of people who've died this year. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to die. But I was born because my parents wanted me. And then that's the end. That's, you know what I mean? Like, but that's, I have to. And that's scary to me. I don't know. Life's weird.
It's very weird. Speaking of that, how about this next story? Speaking of things that are weird is what I mean. UK woman contracts rare flesh-eating STD.
Vag-eating.
This is an article on livescience.com by Ragin' Rachel Rettner.
Nope, not Rachel. Nope.
She likes to rage.
Oh, by the way, since we're talking about STDs, finger me.
Oh, yeah, finger me. I wondered where that was going. Since we're talking about STDs, let me tell you about my week.
Adam.
Well, I didn't know if that was where you were going with that.
That was my segue. By the way, so I hadn't heard from a guy for a while, and it turns out he has AIDS. Anyway, so what's up with this STD?
It's a rare sexually transmitted disease that can destroy genital tissue. Turned up in the UK for the first time. This was first reported by local news outlet Liverpool Echo. $15 off a 3-month subscription when you use discount code. Pretty scary Liverpool Echo discount code, $15 off at checkout.
I feel like you made that up.
I don't know. Go try it and see.
I will.
Go see if it works.
By the way, I don't have any exes that have AIDS.
Oh, okay.
I just realized after I said it that I should like clear it up.
Yeah, people who knew you really well would be playing the guessing game there. So this disease is called Donovanosis, which if your name is Donovan, you must love this disease.
But I feel like that's something you wouldn't be like, I've got Donovanosis. Like it's something, like there's so many osises. Yeah. Out there, it's not something people just throw around.
Yeah. And this, I should warn you, if you go to, I told you this article's on Live Science. They have a link to the Liverpool Echo article, and that article has pictures. And if you want to go see pictures of Donovanosis, which is a vaginal tissue eating STD, by all means, go have a look. But what's fortunate here is there's only about 100 reported cases per year. It's most common in tropical areas. This is actually the first UK infection, and it causes lesions and skin disintegration as the flesh effectively consumes itself. And it's spread through sexual intercourse and, in rare cases, oral sex, but treatable with antibiotics if you catch it fast enough, which I'm assuming most people would. Wouldn't you want to hit the doctor right away if your vag started eating itself?
Okay, so as,
or would you be like, I don't need this thing anymore?
No, I don't think you ever think that, but I would say the vagina is kind of like a, it's kind of like a bomb shelter. Like,
sure,
all things kind of like humid, and like I used to say it was kind of like a dick humidor. Like,
it's dank.
Okay, so I'm trying to say how much I can disclose here. I'm trying to be proper and polite, as I often am. I think
please
most people
do.
Know me as the belle of the ball of this. Okay, so when I do work out, if I come home, there's times when I'm like, oh, like I'm still wearing my yoga pants, and I'm like, oh, I want to watch TV and like make food. Like, I don't want to shower right away.
Right.
And then like,
you're describing me in the morning a lot of times. I'm like, eh, I don't want to shower right away.
I'm just going to tell this story.
Go for it.
So this guy texted me like a couple of years ago, and he's like, wait, do you have like an STD? And I was like, wait, do you have an STD? And again, it was like that
right.
scene in like Reservoir Dogs, but it's just the two of us
sure.
pointing our guns at
Mexican
each other.
Mexican standoff.
But it was like how I woke up. Like, he texted me at 8 a.m. and he was like, I don't know if I have an STD or if I just jerk off too much. And I was like, and I'm like, I haven't even had my morning coffee. Like, what? The funny thing was, it was 4th of July. And for some reason, it just kind of sent me into a tailspin where the whole day I just kind of like laid in bed instead of like going out. And I was like, I must have an STD. And there was like no clinics open. So I made an appointment for the next day. So I go, and he keeps messaging me the whole time. Like, are you there? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. By the way, I'm looking at his Instagram as I'm sitting in the like waiting room, and he's like at parties galore the day before. Like, not a care in the world. And I go in, and she goes, well, do you work out a lot? And I go, well, yeah, I really started getting into hot yoga. And she was like, okay, well, if you don't shower right away, it's kind of like a yeast infection, you have vaginosis, you're fine. Just, you know, here's some like over-the-counter stuff. And I remember like telling him, and he was like, okay, cool. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? I thought I was going to die, and like you were partying the day before. Like, it was like a real scare.
Yeah.
Because I keep hearing that even the... the ones that are like so common, like chlamydia and gonorrhea,
right,
are getting harder and harder to fight, where they might become untreatable.
Because people take antibiotics for so many
yeah.
things. Like, I try to never take antibiotics.
Yeah.
Because I want to save that shit for when I really, really,
really
need it. Like, I had a crazy tooth infection a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I feel like that deserves antibiotics.
And I did. I took
yeah.
antibiotics for that.
Yeah.
But... because that shit can spread to your heart and kill
exactly,
you.
And that's yeah. what it's for.
Right. And, but like, if I just have like strep throat or something like that, and they're like, do you want antibiotics? I'm like, yeah.
See, I would.
I'll just fight it out. Like, but I did fuck up one time and not get, I had strep throat, and I got strep throat so much as a kid and into high school that. It eventually just came kind of routine where I would mm-hmm. just stay home. And I tried that my freshman year in high school. I got strep throat, and I was like, well, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to
yeah.
stay home. It turned into fucking scarlet fever, like the goddamn 1850s.
Did they take your tonsils out?
No. They were like,
I'm surprised.
They told me.
Because they told me I was super close. Because I used to get strep throat all the time too. And they were like, you're really close to it. We just have to take him out. But yeah. I was an adult and they said that they don't like to deal with adults.
When the scarlet fever thing happened, they were like, all right, if this happens one more time, we're taking him out.
I can't believe that wasn't enough for them to take him out.
I don't think they could take him out while I had scarlet fever.
Okay.
Because that gives you like heart murmurs and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a crate. Like,
and you have
who
to
the
wear
fuck
a
gets
big
scarlet fever
A
anymore?
On your chest.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I had to be quarantined. They shot me. I died. We're in heaven now, Carrie. I don't know if you knew that. Do you eat raw oysters?
You or Caitlin getting hurt. I shouldn't laugh, but I do.
It's understandable.
No, I'm not a big oyster fan. I know they say it's an aphrodisiac. So I was at a Christmas party. Friendsgiving a few weeks ago. At a friend's house where she's like, oh, my boyfriend's a doctor. So it was like in Beverly Hills. He had the nicest fucking house with like an infinity pool and like an oven pizza that you would see at like a pizza place. But it was like his backyard.
Yeah.
He barely spoke to me, which is fine. I think like I wasn't important enough. I got drunk enough to make a speech and cry.
Perfect.
Wait, what were we talking? Oh, oysters. Okay, so they had oysters, and he was like, "You will." Okay, the one sentence he did utter to me was, "Here's oysters. You'll like them." And I was like, "Okay." Like, I feel like I should try.
How was it?
Still no.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
I
a
could
texture thing for me.
Yeah, I don't want that slime.
Yeah. Have you had them?
No, I don't.
You should try one. You'd be. I want to say you'd be surprised, but I don't like them.
I've heard
I don't know.
Fried oysters are good. Yeah. And maybe I could fuck with that. But a raw oyster, and I always hear
you
about
can put
people
Tabasco and crackers, like, and I put onions on mine, not enough.
No. And I hear about people getting salmonella and shit like that all the time from bad oysters. And that's a thing that happens. And then also, you can maybe get a flesh-eating bacteria from eating raw oysters. The article is called, "A Florida Man Died of Bacteria That Can Cause Flesh-Eating Disease After Eating Raw Oysters." Here's how concerned you should be on BusinessInsider.com by Karate Kevin Loria.
Nope. Nope.
Karate Eagle flying through the sky. Thank you, Karate Kevin. 71-year-old Florida man. So much of this shit happens in Florida. I think the
pretty
main,
much all of it.
I think the main way to avoid a flesh-eating disease is to not live in Florida.
Yeah.
That feels right. Or just avoid the Gulf of Mexico. Like, I'm saying we need to recall it. Like, did romaine lettuce kill anyone? I don't think it killed anyone.
Only in Florida.
But we still recalled it.
Yeah. Just to be safe.
Just to be safe, let's recall the Gulf of Mexico just for a little bit.
Okay.
Recede those waters.
Okay.
Let whatever's brewing down there fucking dry up and go away. And then we put the waters back in, and then it's safe for people again.
That's interesting.
I didn't put it in the notes because I think I forgot to search for the story. But when I lived in Madison, there was a person who hit their leg on the edge of their coffee table, and it gave them a fucking flesh-eating disease, and they died.
That's insane.
It is very insane.
I feel like it's one in a million.
Well, it really is. It's one in a million.
People who win the lottery.
But it's a thing where, like, this guy got it from oysters. And the problem with, if you get this from an oyster, you can't smell it. It's not, you don't know that it's gone bad.
Okay, so I guess you didn't get into the story.
Yeah, it was a 75-year-old Florida man.
71. And I will say, that's very old for Florida.
And that,
I'm just kidding.
And that,
that's how, like a median age.
Like, a few people in this have been really old. And that's part of it. Because what he got a version of Vibrio, which we mentioned earlier. But it doesn't always turn into a flesh-eating disease.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just like stomach discomfort and whatever. But if you're really old or have a compromised immune system like the pregnant woman, then diseases like this can turn into flesh-eating things. And I feel like if you have an open wound on your body, just cover it. That's going to probably protect you from any of this shit for the rest of your life. And there are 80,000 vibriosis infections in the U.S. every year. Estimates suggest 52,000 result from eating contaminated food, especially raw oysters, most common between May and October, when water is warmest and bacteria is able to thrive.
Yeah.
So keep your open wounds covered and don't eat raw oysters, you weirdos.
Yeah, weirdos.
All right, let's get to this last story. Man loses both legs after being licked by dog. ABC News 7 or ABC7News.com. No name listed for the author. I'm sorry. I can't can't give a... I know that's a downbeat conclusion to that bit.
It really is.
But there, I could have maybe...
I started getting into it.
Yeah.
Minus the Borin.
Borin Corrin was good. He's boring.
But Winter did lick me earlier, and I don't know that I won't die in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So if so, I would like to sign off by saying that I actually think that Chet Wilde is a decent person.
I don't, but go on.
And I think that possibly his dad humor is where he peaked, but he deserves love and he deserves affection. And from this day forward, I declare December 13th, Chet Wilde Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chet, what should it be, December 13th or the day this goes up?
No, the day we recorded it.
Okay,
because
perfect.
By the day this goes up, I will already be angry with him again.
Yeah, that's good that it's already passed and he didn't get to celebrate.
We should put this in a time capsule.
So this guy who died, his name was Greg Mantufel of Wisconsin. This is a quote from his wife, Dawn. It hit him with a vengeance, bruising all over him. Looked like someone beat him up with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
It took a week, and they were taking his legs. And this happened because his own dog licked his leg, and he had an open wound on
his
leg.
They do eat poop.
Dogs get into some shit.
But they also say dogs have cleaner mouths than humans.
Winter brought home a bone the other day, and...
Was it Angie's leg bone?
Well, no, Angie had taken her out to walk her.
Yeah.
And then I get a text saying Winter won't drop this bone, and Winter... comes back in, and I just snatched the bone out of her mouth. I've never seen a bone like that in any food I've eaten. I don't think it was human, but I do think it was like a dead animal bone.
And she wouldn't let it go.
She would not. She had it in her mouth the entire time she was out for a walk. Huh. And like, I'm a little more brave when it comes. Like, I'll just, she's a dog. I'm going to fucking, like, I'm going to win this argument.
Plus, Angie, she likes you better.
Right. Yeah.
So
she, when I snatched that bone, she's just like, well, I guess it's his bone now.
Yep. Take it, boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my house. I'm the alpha dog.
It kind of is. Yeah.
Alpha dog. So, yeah, this guy, the article assures us that more than 99% of the people that have dogs will never have this issue. It's just chance.
So it licked an open wound in his leg, which I think dogs do go to, like, those sensitive areas.
Right.
It's just a one in a million.
Yeah. And
who would think that even after the dog licked it, what if he would have immediately washed it?
Right, right.
Who knows?
Yeah, he probably would have been fine.
Maybe.
And yeah, he ended up having to have his legs amputated over this, but he did survive. So that's good at least. No word on what they did with the dog. Like, what would you do if your dog...
You cost me my legs. I would walk you, but I can't.
Let's go for a roll, puppy.
And then, like, everybody they pass. Oh, were you in the war? No, he did this to me.
I was in the war with my dog's...
Oh, you're kidding. No, I'm not.
I was in a war with my dog's saliva, and I lost.
But, like, what the fuck was it eating? What if it was somebody's vagina? Have you ever seen Ozark?
A vagina that had Donovanosis.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Ozark?
I have, yeah.
Okay, so season one, the dog licks, I guess, the guy's feet when he puts peanut butter on it. But so many people put peanut butter on their private, so the dog will lick it.
Sure. I mean, it could happen.
That could be the thing here.
Be careful, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 99% of the people that have dogs will never have this issue. There are 89.7 million dogs in the United States. 1% is 897,000. Someone in the comments is going to be like, it's not actually 890. I get it. I'm making a joke, motherfuckers. I know this is still a very rare thing. So that's our episode. Keep those brain-eating amoeba and flesh-eating bacteria out of you, Carrie.
I will do my best.
I'm going to extend that advice to everyone listening.
Fair.
I think everyone should make a concerted effort to keep bacteria and amoeba out of their bloodstream and out of their brains.
Fair.
And,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, this episode probably... this is a good way to kick off the new year. So we'll put this one up the first week of January.
It should be first.
Yeah. This is what you want to go into your New Year's resolutions.
Happy 2019.
Exactly.
Caitlin.
Wow.
Rude.
Wow. Just not cool. All right. Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops, Wine True Crime. Listen to that. Our show already happened, so you don't have to come to that. It's so much fun. Yeah. Did you have fun?
So much fun. I had the best roast of Chet Wilde in my life.
I had fun too. All right, let's get out of here. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Oh, my God.